I'm Kitty Vine, and I'm in conversation with Jamie Douglas Hamilton, founder of Active Water. Jamie founded the company after setting two world records rowing 5,000 miles from Australia to Africa across the Indian Ocean. The grueling journey, which saw team members burn 8,000 to 10,000 calories and drink 13 litres of water a day, suffering hallucinations and fainting fits as a result, was Jamie's inspiration for creating Active Water. So today we're going to talk about Jamie's journey from record breaker to entrepreneur. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the introduction, Kitty.
So, Jamie, you're the grandson of the first man to fly over Everest. Clearly, adventuring is in your blood.
That's right. That's right. Well, that's what inspired us in some ways to go out there and do things. He was an incredible guy. He was the first man to fly over Mount Everest. He was boxing champion for Scotland. And at the time when we were kids, we kind of grew up thinking we wished we'd lived in that age of exploration. It was so much fun. And I thought everything had been done. And little do we know that actually the oceans are the last frontier. There are still things in the oceans that we potentially plan to do that no one has actually done before.
So who was on your expedition? Was it friends, professional colleagues? How do you even go about getting a team together to row across the ocean and try and set records?
It was actually very difficult. It was organised by someone called Leven Brown from Scotland, and he managed to get pretty much a group of nutters from all over the country and also from South Africa. All of us had rowed, apart from two, had rowed an ocean before, had done a lot of rowing training. One had been in the Olympics. And so it was pretty serious rowers. But the problem was everyone kept on falling out. As soon as you got someone involved, then they realised what you're actually doing and you're actually going to be away for 2 to 3 months. And they thought...
So were you specifically recruited to try and break a world record?
No, this was, we discussed this with Leven and expressed an interest right back when, you know, when the idea was just concept, and we put it together and yeah, went forward with it.
So it was more about the adventuring as opposed to the record breaking initially?
Absolutely.
Anyway.
And doing something that hadn't been done.
Okay. So. Can you talk us through the lead up to this eureka moment?
Yeah, I wasn't in the water business before. What happened is we were rowing, you know, 2 hours on, 2 hours off for 24 hours a day. So it's very physical. And during that time, we were drinking anything from 9 to 13 litres of water every day. And so what was then happening is we were flushing the salts out of our system. And the only way we compensated for that was actually by mixing, one person mixed his seawater with water. Because before this, we were hallucinating. We had very little power in the water. When we were doing a two-hour session, by the last 40 minutes, you know, we were really flagging. When we mixed seawater with water, you didn't get that effect. You had power the whole way through to the end. And that's because our bodies were so out of balance. We were drinking too much water. We were so we were actually getting more dehydrated the more we were drinking. And when I realised just how important hydration is for performance, that's when I realised if you just add a little bit of salt into water, what else is possible? What else is possible with water?
So you come back from your expedition, and what happens next? You've had this moment on the boat, and you, like, where do you go from there?
So it was a case of researching water all over the world. And so I researched it in all different countries in Europe, from Asia to Australia. And it was actually in Japan when I found a water called Water for Water, which is actually alkaline ionized water. And they've been making this since 1960. It was approved by the Ministry of Health for people at that time with digestive problems. And it's kind of grown from that. They've done about 400 clinical trials with ionized water with pretty surprising results. And then I looked at the American market and I thought alkaline water is the fastest growing category of water. Not just of water, but the whole beverage category is all growing because of alkaline water. And no one's doing it in Europe. And I was so surprised these concepts hadn't come over here. And that's when I realised this is a real, real opportunity.
I'm onto something. So at this point, did you have a sort of classic office job? How did you go from, you know, from your daytime job, also the adventuring, and sort of balanced all of that and trying to get your business idea off the ground?
So after the row, obviously, I hadn't been working for 3 months. Mm. Just after that, I did a course over in Boston. It was a mini MBA course, and then came back from that, and I started the idea. And my parents kept on saying, you've got to go out and get a job. And little by little, just got one step further, one step further. And at that time, we didn't know if we were going to raise funding. We didn't know if this was going to be a viable idea, the American players were going to come over. And we just got one step further until we actually managed to raise some funding. We actually had to build a plant, a whole plant, because nowhere in Europe can actually make it. No one's set up to make it. So we had to build a plant from scratch. Then we had to design everything from things you would never think about. We're the only people using that cap, so we had to then make special chucks for that to fit on. We're the only people using that size labels, so we had to rebuild the whole labeling machine.
Right, you've just mentioned the cap. Let's talk about the bottle. Seems like a good opportunity here. So you've got two different sizes. I'm holding a 600ml
That's right.
bottle, which looks like a sort of sports version. For the sporty person, of which I'm not, I hasten to add. And you have how
the
large?
1 litre.
Right. So talk me through the packaging. What I can see is you've got a sort of a label on the back, which then sort of shines through, looking like waterfalls, perhaps, or something.
That's right. So that's in Japan, they call ionized water waterfall water.
Okay.
And so that's the kind of icon behind the brand.
Okay.
It's their waterfall.
Okay.
And that's central to everything we do.
Okay. And then you've got sort of purple as the sort of brand colour, with then a sub colour of blue, which is obviously you've got like a water droplet as the top of the eye.
So that colour of purple is there because that is a colour of high alkaline. But it's also a premium colour that very few people use.
Okay. So does that make it very expensive to print then with purple?
It's a premium colour. It's not so much. It is slightly more expensive, but it's something that all water brands use: red, white, or blue. They tend to use those colours.
Mm.
So we stand out when you see it on the shelf and you've got a very dark colour,
yeah.
It really stands out. The reason we made it in that size of 600 was 500 mils in research came back and it's too small.
Okay.
And they said 750ml is too big, it's too wide a bottle, and 600 is the perfect size.
I really like this, how you sort of hold it in your hand. It's like, obviously you've done a lot of research about this, but it's a sort of perfect width, isn't it, the sports cap? I can sort
almost,
of imagine
almost like stress relief. You can
exactly.
Kind of squeeze in and...
Right, so now I'm going to pop open this sports lid and try some. So what, for someone who hasn't tried alkaline ionized water... Is there a difference between this and what you would consider like tap water or like a normal other bottled water on the market?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's about 100,000 times more alkaline than what you get in a regular can of carbonated soft drinks. For example, sports drinks, energy drinks, colas, etc. What you find is it's got a much... People are expecting a very strong taste.
I was expecting a really strong taste, but... I didn't really know what alkaline ionized water would taste like, but it doesn't taste, to my naive palate, it doesn't taste different. Do you know what I mean? It just tastes sort of normal.
Absolutely. When you have what you find, a lot of people commented it was very clean taste, very smooth taste. It's very easy to drink.
Mm.
But when they first taste it, they're expecting a very strong alkaline taste. And they don't know what alkaline, but they prepare themselves.
Mm.
And that kind of sweet smooth is the fact that it's alkaline. You know, it's that magnesium, it's the potassium, it's the sodium bicarbonate that's been ionized and gives it that kind of clean, smooth taste.
So just sort of stepping back now, so you had to build plants from scratch and basically kind of, you know, kickstart it from absolute zero. What was the process like to sort of try and get your product to market?
It was very difficult. I mean, FMCG is launching a brand is one of the most difficult things you can do. There are so many hats you have to play. You have to know about grants. You have to know about legislations. You've got to know about things like barcodes. You've got to have a relationship with co-packers. You've got to raise funding. You've got to deal with investors. You've got to build a team. You've got to have a supply chain. Before that, you've got to then have people willing to distribute it, sell it. It's unless you've got to once you've got a certain amount of distribution, retailers come to you. But before that stage, it is actually very difficult. And we were lucky to have launched in Harrods. We then went into Whole Foods as nature intended, Plant Organic very soon afterwards. We got the key stores in London, and then expanded from there. But it's hard to get even to get through to a buyer because they just tend not to answer their phones.
So what would you say were the main challenges and lessons that you learned along the way then? I'm not sure we've got enough time in a podcast for this, but you know, the most
difficult thing about this is a very temperamental product. If you do one thing wrong, it will change the entire taste profile of that water. It would taste completely different, you know. So we had to just a lot we had to do. It was really going back to going back to A level chemistry, and a lot of it was learning while we were actually doing. Mm. It was very, very difficult to actually make it, and things always get delayed. Things will cost more and they'll take longer.
And so, how many people are in your sort of key team now, would you say? What does the sort of company look like?
So we've got seven in our team, and from a supply chain. So that's our chief operating officer. What I'm really focusing on now is kind of new business development, getting the sales in. We've just started exporting, so we're actually going out to six different countries and hoping that to be at least another 12 or 13 before Christmas. And that's from Middle East into Europe. And we've also got a marketing assistant. We've got a head of sales who's joined us from a major coconut brand. And we've got a field sales team. So they go out every single day making sure samples, our product is where it should be. It hasn't run out on shelf. They're putting up point of sale. They're doing samplings. They're getting new business in London.
Okay. And what would you say are your sort of 2 to 5 year business aspirations?
I think it's one step. You know, we've gone through the startup phase and we've gone into the key accounts. The next big phase is now to go into grocery. And that's where we're talking to the biggest grocer in the UK at the moment about a potential launch in October, which is really exciting. And then that will provide a springboard to getting into a lot of the other grocers. From there, the next big phase is then international. And then from being in that phase, it's setting Active up as a lifestyle brand. You know, it's all about living an active life.
And what would be your advice for any budding entrepreneurs listening to this podcast now, Jamie?
It would take. It's all about persistence. Just never give up. No matter how hard it gets at times, just keep on going. Keep on going. Because eventually, those who make it are the ones that are persistent. It's not to say necessarily have the best product. It's to say never, never give up. This has taken from start, from concept to now 3 years.
Okay.
And we've launched 7 months ago. You know, you think you can make it in 6 months, it usually takes 2 years. Everyone I speak to always says it takes around about 2 years.
And I guess living at home with your parents having £300 in your pocket is a real drive to want a business to work.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that was for the first 4 months or so, yeah. Luckily.
And finally, are you still taking part in expeditions and breaking records? What's on the horizon for you in that front?
Well, we do. And that's the concept behind Active. You know, it's about living a boundless lifestyle, going out and doing things that are impossible. One place no one's rode is Antarctica, for good reason. It's very cold, it's very dangerous, it's very hard logistically, and there's no support down there. What we're looking at is actually doing a row from Rothera Research Station all the way up Antarctic Peninsula through to South Georgia. And so that'll be the same route, similar route to what Shackleton did when he sailed in Endurance, and we're looking to do that rowing. But that'll be a very low deck, so big waves, especially once we get into the Southern Ocean. And that'll be a world first. So we just got to kind of make sure I've got the time to actually do it.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for joining me for our conversation today.
Thank you.